don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on,
all right, everyone. Hello, this is Cody Heitschmidt on Cody Talks. It's Wednesday, November 28th, I think. Doesn't really matter. I can't ever keep track of the date. Web-only Wednesdays, we're here just on the web today. We're not on the radio, so hopefully you didn't check in and try to find us on the radio stations across the country. We're here with a very cool guest that I think is going to have some interesting conversation that it's a really niche subject, and in some regards, you know, it's going to be it's not taboo, but it's something that sometimes can be difficult to deal with, so it's going to be a really cool conversation. If you have questions or comments for our guest today, make sure and hit us up at facebook.com/CodyTalks, Cody Talks on Twitter, or Cody Talks on Google Plus. We're monitoring all three, and we like to have your input. It makes it more fun. We're live right now, but even afterwards, if you're watching this archived, throw comments and questions up there, and we'll make sure that our if we can't answer them or they're not geared towards us, we'll make sure our guest sees that those questions are there, and she can come back and interact and respond as she sees fit. Our guest today is Dr. Deanna Bran. Dr. Bran, are you there?
I'm here.
I always feel like I go through the is it Deanna or is it Dr. Bran? And I'm going to stick with Dr. Bran because I think you earned that title. So that's,
okay.
that's what I'm going to call you. You have a website. The website is drdeannabran.com for those of you that, would rather look through our website while you're listening than look at me on the air here. It's, the website's way better looking than I am. And the website, is the website URL is drdeannabran.com, but it's kind of titled Your In-Law Survival Guide. Very niche topic, you know, in the sense that it's very specific. I don't mean niche in that it doesn't apply to very many people, but it's a very specific type of website. Dr. Bran, tell us a little bit, A, about your history, and B, what were the circumstances that led to you having an in-law survival guide website?
Good question. Well, I have been a therapist, a psychologist for over 25 years doing private practice. And as much as I was able to help everybody else, when it came to my own relationship with my daughter-in-law, it was a bit challenging. We initially got along great, and then they started having children, and things really changed between us. And I really struggled for many years, like 8 years, trying to figure out what to do. And I just wasn't getting it. And I think I was just too close to the situation. And so what I did is some research. I interviewed mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law and husbands and sons. And I figured out what was going on. And I started using some of the tools that I used in my clinical practice with women who were struggling with the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship. That's where the book was kind of born from, and that's where the website comes from, is I just started using it on my own relationship and was able to turn that relationship around, and then I was able to start helping other women fix their relationship.
Well, and it comes from a little bit more, or from the outside looking in, the fact that your occupation leads to you, you know, being able to analyze that. I really feel like I'm a phenomenal amateur psychologist. And I just love the comprehension and the study of why someone did this thing that doesn't make sense to the person next to them that they did.
Oh, yeah.
I have zero accreditation I have zero right to claim that. That's why I very much emphasize the amateur. But you had that as well. You weren't just going into this as some mother-in-law that, you know, was a stay-at-home mom or an accountant.
Right.
You had that background. It's a big thing. The whole in-law relationship is a big thing in society, and a lot of times I think it's for the sake of comedy. You know, or not all the time. I really realize that there are stressful relationships there. But, you know, you look at Everybody Loves Raymond, one of my favorite TV shows of all time, and Patricia Heaton is one of my – she's kind of one of my TV crushes, and the problems that she had with Doris Roberts' character, Ray's mother, you know, that's the epitome of the extreme side of it, right?
Actually, it's not that extreme. It's pretty classic for a lot of relationships. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of comedians with jokes about mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law and just in-law relationships in general. And the humor is important because you do need humor, but those relationships are very real. And now, not everybody. Some people get along great in their relationships, but there's a lot out there who really do struggle. And, you know, it's on a continuum, so some are worse than others. But actually, that show is probably a very classic example of what families go through.
So I got to ask, are you admitting that you were like Ray Romano's mom?
No, I'm not saying that. I might have been. My daughter-in-law probably would say I was.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. And so did you used your family as a little bit of a petri dish to study this thing. Was your daughter-in-law a part of that? That's interesting to me. Did she know that you decided to kind of make a maybe what started as a hobby and then led to what's now a business about understanding that relationship because of the relationship you had with her?
Well, when I was going through it, when I was trying to fix our relationship, no, she didn't know. Because she didn't need to know. I needed to fix it. And there was, you know, one of the things I know from my clinical practice is that you don't need both people involved to change the relationship. If one person changes their behavior, the other person really has to change their behavior as well. So that's what I did. I just started changing my own behavior, which allowed her to then respond to me differently. And that's what kind of triggered the whole thing turning around. When I got to the point of writing the book, though, I decided I really needed to talk to her about it because, you know, it was going to be out in the public. And she was very supportive, actually. And, in fact, the first chapter, which is The Thanksgiving from Hell, which is one of our experiences, she helped me write that. So it was kind of fun to do that together.
Well, that's a neat, I guess, to take over the mic for just a second. I really believe in the reason that I like psychology is because I think that all these feuds that we have in the world are really fairly easily analyzed, and that the why it's happening is usually fairly easy to comprehend. Now the discipline and the going out and making the changes to fix it is the hard part. But I just wanted to say that I really respect that. I respect that as, and not even from your clinical side, but from the mother-in-law side, that relationship, you know, I think so many people just don't get along. So they stay apart, and in family, that's really a cancerous way to go about it. You know, it's going to tear things down and never get better. So I applaud you for taking the steps to try and repair that relationship and study it instead of just, you know, staying at her house and she stayed at yours.
Well, thank you. And you know, I think what you're saying is so true. Most people, it's sad to say, but they would rather stay stuck in the misery of it than to take the risk and the chance of trying to make it better. You know, they come up with the excuses, well, she won't change, or, you know, if this is just the way it is, or, you know, whatever that people say, and it really keeps them stuck, and it doesn't need to be that way. It really doesn't, and it's kind of sad that they would allow the fear of doing something different and really trying to make it different get in the way.
Yeah, I think that fear of new or that fear of change, I think there's also a fear of admitting that part of it, if not sometimes all of it, is your, when I say you, I don't mean Dr. Brand. I mean someone out there admitting, that it was their fault. Did you, I feel like I'm getting really personal, but it's part
okay.
of the whole.
I have no problem.
Did you have to do that, I'm assuming that if you're still in a good relationship with your daughter-in-law, that your analysis didn't prove that it was all her fault that you weren't getting along.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It's actually kind of funny how I discovered that my part in this. When I was listening to other women's stories about their relationships, whether it was with their mother-in-law or with their daughter-in-law, I had two hats on. I had my therapist hat on, but I also had my researcher hat on. And so I'm asking questions and I'm listening and I'm going, they probably shouldn't have done that. I'm thinking this, and then all of a sudden I'm going, oh my gosh, I've done that. And then I go, oh my gosh, I've done that. And so I started to see my own part by listening to other people's stories because I was able to have that distance there and be able to really see that, I did play a part in it and innocently. And I think we all do it kind of innocently. But bottom line is it takes both people. And, that's why it's important to, you don't have to, broadcast the fact that, you made mistakes. We all do. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. But the key is, okay, you make mistakes, but what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, in a bigger picture, whole world scheme, and I know there's specifics to the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, but really that part of it, stepping back and looking at it and realizing that, again, some, if not all of it is your fault, and then taking the steps to make the change would really just make the whole world a better place if more people would look at the issues or the disagreements or the conflicts they have and figure out what part of it is their fault and start with working on that a little bit.
I agree with that. And one of the things that I discovered with mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships, and even though that's very specific, what I noticed is so much of what I've learned and what I use is quite universal. And this is that, we get stuck in who's right and who's wrong. And on the small scale of mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, but also on the grander scale of, people, countries, whatever, we all get stuck in who's right and who's wrong. And that creates that stalemate. And as long as we keep focusing on, if she's right, then I must be wrong. Well, that can't happen. So then I'm going to stand my ground. Whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to stand my ground. As long as we get stuck there, nothing is going to change in any relationship. So it's really important to move beyond the whole right and wrong thing and focus on what is the bigger picture here. What do we want to have happen? What do we want to achieve? Well, we want a better relationship. Well, getting stuck in right and wrong is not going to be, where that's going to happen. So I think you've made a very good point there.
Well, and the crazy thing is I wasn't going to go there because I think that the people that listen to my show and read my blog are probably completely overwhelmed with. The main topic on my blog is a phrase that I use all the time. That's I am right and you are wrong. That's the biggest problem in the world today. I have probably 25 or 30 blog posts and two shows that I've done already about how that I'm right, so you've got to be wrong philosophy.
I will attest that you did not pay me to say that.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it because I love having these this is why I do this show, because I love having these conversations where ideas all kind of come together. And really, I started out talking about I am right and you are wrong with really, the first blog post, I believe, was like an Americans, extremist Muslims type conflict blog post, mm-hmm. right? That's the extreme global example of a really bad in-law relationship.
Absolutely.
Right there. I mean, they're kind of our in-laws, they're yep. They're in relationships with people that we're in relationships with. And the whole thing is, in my opinion, is based around that I'm right and you are wrong. And when you take those steps that you talked about of stepping back and saying, hey, what am I doing wrong? And if I change that, it's actually the best way to then force the other person in the relationship, not force, but allow the other person in the relationship to kind of step up and see what they're doing wrong. And then that's how you actually make progress, right?
Right, right. Well, one of the things that I teach women, and it really works for any relationship, is I have a thing called listening and learning, and it's a tool that really to break that stalemate of right and wrong and get past that so that you can then move the relationship in the way you want. Because, it's easy to say, step up and do that, but people need to know how to do that. And it's because it's not easy, it's simple, but maybe not easy. You know, the steps are very simple. They're not hard steps, but, you know, people need to trust that, you know, the results will be there and that things will change. And, you know, so I think that's probably the first thing people need to do is to, you know, stop and listen and learn and from the situation so they can move past it.
Okay, I've got some, we've got quite a few, we've got a great response going so far on Twitter and Facebook. Obviously, we have some really good in-law jokes coming in that you may not have heard yet. But Christine on Twitter put, I only have sibling in-laws, but my biggest problem is dealing with the holidays around everyone's schedule. And, you know, I guess here we, I'm an amateur psychologist on you.
Go right ahead.
And then you correct me. really, that's kind of one of the underlying symptoms, in my opinion, of, or one of the causes, not a symptoms. That's one of the causes of the bigger problem. Scheduling has got to be, you know, in the top five lists of issues that in-law has, you know, that in-laws have. You know, the daughter-in-law, wants to have Christmas with her family on this day, but the mother-in-law has done it at her house on that day for 40
exactly.
years. And then that's one of those things that's really hard to figure out too, because it's, you know, both of them are right in some ways. One wants to develop a new tradition. One wants to keep an old tradition going. Someone walks into your office or someone gets on your website looking for an answer for that. What's your response to that situation?
That is such a difficult thing for people because, you know, the expectation is we're going to keep doing things the way we've always done things. Well, you've blended two families here. You know, you have a husband and a wife and each come from a different family. What I would recommend people to do is, and this isn't always one that people, families don't particularly like this, but it's what people need to do. They need to figure out, the couple needs to figure out what's important to them. How do they, you know, in an ideal world, what would they end up doing? And then they need to let each family know how they're going to handle it. You know, set the boundaries, set the limits with people, decide for themselves how they want to spend their holiday. Because, you know, if they end up going around trying to please everybody else, they're going to be miserable. And that's not fair to them. It's their holiday, too. So, you know, I think try to be respectful and try to include as many people as you can within your structure of what you plan. But, you know, don't always feel so guilty that you can't please everybody, because you never will. So you need to focus on yourself as a couple first and decide how you want to do things, and then you let the family know. Again, doing it kindly, doing it lovingly, and trying to include people, but on your in your time frame, in your schedule.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I love the fact that you mentioned respectful in there as well, because I think there's folks out there that could take that as, I'm just going to stand my ground and do whatever I want, no matter what, and that's not
what I'm saying.
Right, yeah, and you know, you still have to respect the other wishes of it, and sometimes, you know, your site is very much focused about the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law relationship, so in dealing with that, first of all, I want to say to my wife, her mother is now passed, but we got along greatly. We had this loving, fighting relationship. We constantly debated, but always ended up getting along. But I do see, you'll see why I preface that real. But
yes,
sometimes in the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, you really, maybe the person that suffers the most is the son/husband who, not the most, but is, there's someone else that is suffering in that relationship is the son/husband, who feels like he's being torn back and forth.
That is very true. I mean, they often feel caught in the middle. I mean, here, that's his mom. He loves her. He loves his wife. He does, and men have relationships. Their relationships are very different than women's relationships. So, a lot of times men don't get why women can't just figure this out or just get along. You know, it's like, why do we have to make such a big deal of this incident, or she said this or she said that, you know, because guys don't do relationships like that. So, you know, he's over there trying to please everybody, and he usually ends up pleasing nobody. And so, you know, he gets in trouble regardless of what he does. So I really think the husband is ignored a lot in this situation or blamed a lot in this situation when it, that seems a bit unfair.
Okay, yeah, excellent. I agree. You know, I see it happen with friends of mine. Like I said, I've been really lucky. I think that my wife feels lucky with the family that she tagged on when she latched on to me 18 years ago. I have another person who chose to remain anonymous and direct message me on Twitter. Her issue is she's looking for a kinder, gentler way without being blunt to say that doesn't work for me. She hasn't gone into specifics about the situation. But it goes back a little bit to what I said before about the respectful thing on if the mother-in-law comes and says, hey, we're all doing Christmas morning at my house. And the daughter-in-law says or feels like, no, I want to wake up with my kids and my, you know, closest immediate family. How does that conversation go down and be respectful, but at the same time, you know, respectful is a fine line because you have to stand your ground, but not be rude. That's a very fine point in there. How does that conversation go down? And we're dealing with here from the daughter-in-law perspective.
Well, the way I would handle this, and this does play into the whole respect thing. Let me give you the example, and then I'll kind of explain it. You know, what I would say to my mother-in-law in this situation is, I would say, you know, I really wish that I could do this, whatever it is she wants. You know, I understand it's really important to you, but that's just not going to work for me. I'm not going to be able to do that. What if we do this instead? So what I just did there was I acknowledged my mother-in-law's feeling that this is important to her. And I acknowledge that because that shows the respect. I tell her that I can't do it, all right, or I'm not able to do it. You don't have to go into an explanation as to why, all right? You can just say, I'm not going to be able to do that. But then the second thing you do is you give a compromise. You give another option. So that's what you want to do. You want to acknowledge their feelings or their you know, emotion about this particular incident, that it's important to them. You want to state your issue that it won't work, and then you want to give a compromise. You want to give another option to her. Can we do this instead?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be completely blunt honest with you, okay? I really didn't know what to expect coming into this conversation today, and I've dealt with a lot of psychologist types that I think are really flaky. I think they just sometimes live in a pipe dream world of, you know, they want to over, but I really like that response right there. And I love the fact that you threw compromise on in the end of it. And again, I think that's such a global thing, that we live in a world where everyone wants to say, it goes back to I am right and you're wrong,
yeah,
or my way or the highway.
Exactly.
And it's such a happier place. It's just more freaking fun, when folks get along and, you know, if you hadn't added compromise as the third step in that process, you'd really built me up to loving you. And right up to that point, I would have dropped off and thought, oh, she is a crazy psychologist.
I just think, you know, again, we got to look at the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is you want to have a relationship with this person. And it's, you know, you don't want it to be it's my way or the highway, because then we get into that stalemate of, you know, everybody wants to save face. Well, this allows everybody to do that. And it also shows that you want to work something out. You know, that you know, you just can't do what she's asking you to do, but you're willing to try something else. And I just think that's so important, you know, in all relationships, but particularly this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That on Facebook just now, Steve posted, don't forget that behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. that part of it is, you know, it's funny, and I know Steve and I know his sense of humor and really appreciate that. But the other side of that is, let's real quick. I don't want to go too much longer, but how much is that a factor too? I like the analysis part of that in my mind is the mother-in-law doesn't think the son is good enough for the daughter. That's the joke, or that's the backing for that joke in my mind. How much of that is an issue in what you see in your studies of this thing?
You know, I think that's an issue to a point. And, again, I think it has more to do with the type of mother-in-law she is as an individual. It's not something that you can generalize because there's different types of people out there and different personality types. And if there is a particular personality type that would view their son-in-law as, you know, not good enough, there's other ones who have no issue, you know, and I think that's the majority of them. As long as their daughter is happy. And a piece to add to that is, as long as the daughter and the mother can still have a close relationship, then the mother is the mother-in-law or the mother of the daughter is pretty happy, you know, because that's the important thing to that particular mother is to be able to have a relationship with her child still.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to wrap up by doing the promo thing and telling everyone how they can find out more information about you and contact you. But I got to ask, you're up on the webcast right now. I've got the About Dr. Deanna page up, and it says you have an extensive education in psychodynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, just for my own curiosity, what is psychodynamics?
Psychodynamic is where, you know, the issues that we have in our adult world really started in our childhood. And that everything kind of goes back to incidents, things that have happened in our childhood that we hang on to. And my belief, I want to preface all this with, though, that I do believe, okay, our parents have an impact on us and how we view things and how we feel about things and how we react and respond to things. But at some point in our life, as an adult, you have to take responsibility for those. You can no longer blame your parents, right? So once you understand some of the stuff that's going on back there and why you respond this way or why you respond that way or whatever, once you understand that and you learn different ways of doing things, that starts to change inside you and you no longer are impacted by it. So that's what that's about.
That's very cool stuff, and I'm going to say one more time. I really just appreciate the common sense that's applied here. I think that a lot of people that think they know what's going on in someone's brain overthink it, and I think they try to make it so complicated that there's actually no solution. I think that happens. Some, I don't think it happens a lot, but I've seen it with people that thought they knew what was going on in someone's brain, whether they were a professional or just an amateur psychologist like me that overthink it for the attempt of like job security. And I really appreciate your, you know what I mean? Just keep them crazy and then they got to keep paying your bill, right? I mean, that's,
that happens.
And I really appreciate the fact that you have, so I never know when I'm going into a conversation with someone that claims they can help you with what's going on inside your brain if I'm gonna respect them or not. And this was a very cool conversation on a topic that I didn't really know where the topic was gonna go. You know, I came into this telling people that I was gonna talk to a therapist about mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships, and I didn't really know where it was gonna go, but I appreciate your time. For those of you out there that are listening or watching this on the archive, it's drdeannabrann.com, drdeannabrann.com. It's much easier for me to tell you that if you go to codytalks.com and on the archive right below this, I have a link directly to it. But very cool stuff happening here and a pleasant surprise for me because I just wasn't sure how it was going to go, you know, with a male talk show host having a guest on to talk about mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships. But for me to sum it up, and I'll give you a chance to close out, but for me to sum it up, I think your analysis, your solutions, I think they also apply to every relationship in the world, whether it's, you know, whether it's, I mean, I think it applies to if you and your dog aren't getting along, or the United States and Iraq can't get along. And obviously, I know you have some specifics for this instance and some personal experiences to share, but I love your commentary and I love your analysis and solutions. So thank you so much for coming on today.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Your questions were great. Your comments were great. You know more than you think you do. I think you got to pat yourself on the back for that one.
Okay, I really, like, I'm going over my own preset time limits, and it's completely my fault. But someone, Amanda on Twitter, just posted, why are in-laws so difficult? And in closing, are in-laws a more difficult relationship than others, or did mother-in-law jokes just raise it to a new level? I know we kind of talked about that already, but I personally really don't get why, why are they more difficult than others?
Well, there are several reasons. Let me give you one, since we don't have a lot of time. One of the main reasons, and I said there's like five, but one of the main reasons is that it starts off as a very artificial relationship. I mean, if you think about it, the only reason you know this person or you're involved with this person is because of the husband and son. And that's the only reason. So, you know, you're trying to create this relationship from someone you didn't choose. And that's challenging because you don't know this person and you're thrown together and all of a sudden you've got to create this relationship. And sometimes we try too hard too fast because we aren't taking the time to develop the relationship the way we would a normal relationship. So, that, I mean, again, there's other reasons, but I know we don't have a lot of time, but that's probably the main reason is it starts off so artificial, and we're just kind of thrown together.
That makes huge sense to me. So, someone else, a third party, or a third party, how about if I word it right? A third party is almost forcing you into this relationship.
The
son slash husband has decided that you two are going to be a part of each other's lives.
Exactly.
And you didn't get any say in it. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Seriously, I never thought going into this that I would want that I would take this long and maybe even want to have you on again sometime. But thank you so much for being on. Again, it's drdeannabrand.com, or you can just go to Cody Talks right below this episode. I linked up to her website as well. Very cool conversation, Dr. Brand. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, that does it for episode 2 of Web Only Wednesdays. Let me run the computer here so I can do a little closing thing. And I'd really love some feedback on Web Only Wednesdays. The reason we went to it was because we had this kind of influx of people that were asking to be on the show that I really wanted to have on the show. But once a week wasn't enough. We had it where it was going to take 6 months at once a week to get them all on the show. So we decided to jump in and pick out some cool interviews. So go to facebook.com/CodyTalks or Cody Talks on Twitter and let us know what you think of Web Only Wednesdays. And thanks for your time.